I suppose as I'm getting older, then I'm getting good at moaning and criticising young people and the younger generation. But it is true to say, isn't it, that a lot of people today want a quick fix, don't they? They want everything instant. We go on the internet, we can book our holidays instantly, we can get our shopping in, we can choose whatever we want to choose without ever really spending an awful lot of time in doing so. And indeed, we mustn't put people under pressure, certainly not young people in school, because goodness me, pressure isn't always good for you, despite the fact that pressure is something we do all have to deal with in life. A quick fix is often a good way of selling something. Get your money easy, get what you want easily, and everybody will be happy. And is that how people would love to see religion? If you go to church, and if you believe in God, and if you say your prayers, then you'll have nothing to worry about. Everything will turn out fantastic. Everything will be rosy. But is that the case? And if it was the case, then our churches would be packed full, wouldn't they? You know, everybody would want to be here. They'd want some of that quick fix. That come to church, say your prayers and believe in God, and everything will be fine. Well, you know, yeah, as Christians, we believe in a God who gives us an awful lot. But we also believe in a God who demands an awful lot from us as well. And Jesus said some very dramatic things in this passage this morning. Things which will probably upset us. Things which may put us off completely. Jesus says that it's very demanding to become one of his followers. It isn't a quick and easy fix. If you come to church, it doesn't mean you'll be spared the difficulties of life. If you come to church, life won't always be rosy. And yet, in many ways, if you come to church, you will find a God who loves us, who is merciful to us, who forgives us, and who gives us the strength to get by even when it isn't easy, when it isn't rosy, when it isn't a quick fix. How easy is it to follow Jesus? What's it really mean to follow him today in our lives? And Jesus says, if we follow him, we must hate our fathers and mothers, our brothers and sisters. We must hate our families. And that puts people off, doesn't it? That puts me off when I read it. Puts all of us off. Goodness me, I am not going to hate my family. I'm sorry. My family mean the world to me. I love them very dearly. How can I possibly hate them? And yet, it says it, doesn't it? It's there in the gospel. And if we are fundamentalist in our faith, then we would agree that that is exactly what it means. But as preachers, we can always look for a different interpretation of the word to sweeten the pill. And if you look at the Hebrew interpretation of the word hate, it doesn't mean hate as we see it. What the Hebrew means is that it's about putting Jesus at the top. It's about, if you like, making sure that he is above all things. It doesn't mean that we hate our family. It just means that for us, Jesus comes first. Jesus is at the top of our list of priorities. Our families are still vital to us. Our families are still important. We still love them and care for them. But what it's saying here is that Jesus comes first. Jesus is at the top. How easy is that to deal with? Just have a think. Just have a think. Does Jesus come at the top in your life? Is Jesus more important than your family? Than anything else? Well, think. Anybody want to comment? Is it easy to put Jesus first? Do we put Jesus first? Can we say, yeah, in everything I do, Jesus is at the top of it. Jesus is first, Jesus is last. And my guess is that my answer would be, no, that is not always the case. Because I'm human and because I make mistakes. Even ideally want to be a disciple of Jesus, sometimes he makes very high demands. Does Jesus really mean that everything in our preference and our allegiance just comes to him? That we have got to put Jesus above all else? Not hate our families, not hate those who are near and dear to us, but see that in all our dealings, Jesus comes first. But then he talks about carrying our cross. Of course, the cross is a symbol of sacrifice, isn't it? Jesus, we know, showed his allegiance to his heavenly Father by going on to the cross. So much so because he loved us, so much so because he wanted to give his life for us. And he says, if you want to follow me, you must be prepared to lift up your cross. If you want to follow me, you must make sacrifices. If you want to follow me, then lifting the cross is also about witness, isn't it? If we lift up the cross, then we are showing people, this is what I believe. This is what matters to me. It's pinning our colours on the mast, not being afraid, not being embarrassed. Jesus calls us to lift up our cross. Jesus calls us to be prepared to make sacrifices in order to serve him. Jesus calls us to witness to our faith. Now, okay, it isn't always easy to talk about religion, is it? Sometimes it goes into to bother. Sometimes it's a subject that we prefer to keep out the road. But then again, people sometimes know that we go to church, and because they know we go to church, they might want to discuss things with us of a religious nature. They might even want to criticize us because God's let things go wrong. As I've said to you before, when I was teaching, I had one particular colleague, the head of geography, wonderful lady, highly intellectual, highly academic, who whenever anything went wrong would blame me for it. It was your God, David. You're the one who must explain why this earthquake has happened, why that's happened. Certainly put me on the spot, not just being an RE teacher, but because they knew that I went to church and was a Christian. Holding up the cross, believing in what we believe, witnessing to what we believe, is part of this discipleship. But do we make sacrifices in our journey of faith? Another pause, if you like, for you to just have a think about that in your own mind. Do we make sacrifices to follow our faith? Are we challenged to hold up our cross and say what we believe? Or is it easier to say nothing at all? Any comments? Making sacrifices for what we believe in. Following our faith in Jesus. Maybe we have all made sacrifices. Maybe there's been times in our lives when it was easier to not admit to being a Christian than it was to say this is what our faith is all about. Making a sacrifice, carrying our cross, giving up self-interest and competing loyalties, making everything central to our discipleship in following Jesus and witnessing to him too. We had at Probus a very interesting speaker on Thursday morning, the Reverend Charity Hamilton, and she talked to us about her ministry to the town of Middlesbrough, about the importance of witnessing to Jesus in the town centre, about the importance of going to McDonald's at 5 o'clock in the morning and talking to the people who were in there and wearing her dog collar, of witnessing to Jesus when sometimes it must have been difficult. But we all know Charity, her personality is such that she was going in there with passion and with love for the people that she was ministering to. And if you go into the circuit meeting, you'll hear that talk as well. But it was very inspirational. Although she did say at the end, they're a bit of a tough lot, this lot, aren't they? There were some interesting questions. There were some challenging from some of the guys who were there. But it was still important that she had that chance to hold up her faith in that particular meeting and to talk about the way she's doing it through the town centre and indeed her team as well in that mission. We then move on then in our reading to those parables. We hear about somebody wanting to build a tower. And if you're going to build a tower, then you've got to have the right bricks and the right strategy and the right design. I remember when we were refurbishing Grove Hill Methodist Church, goodness me, the number of meetings to get it right, to deal with the difficulties of design and cost and materials. You've got to get it right. You've got to be prepared. And then Jesus talks about a king going off to battle and how he must be sure of the number of people he wants with him, the strategies of his battle. And what he's really saying to us is that if we are to be disciples of Jesus, if we are to follow his way, then we too must be prepared. Surely coming to church on a Sunday is part of that being prepared. Surely being at church on a Sunday isn't just about listening to a preacher, because sometimes we don't always listen, and sometimes preachers don't always say what we want to hear. But at the end of the day, it's about being prepared by being with other people who share the same faith that you do. Because quite often in our daily lives, we are an odd one out, aren't we, going to church, being a religious. But when we come to church on a Sunday, there is that opportunity to be prepared for that Christian discipleship by sharing in fellowship with other people, by knowing that they too are on the same journey that you are on. And yes, worship is about preparing ourselves to follow Jesus, to have a plan for discipleship. But remembering as well that despite all these demands, despite all the difficulties, then Jesus offers us grace. Jesus offers us forgiveness. Jesus offers us a sense of love. Think about how you came to your discipleship. How did you come to know Jesus? Who were the people who brought you to faith? What did they tell you it was about? Did they tell you it was easy? Were they honest about what it was about? And how do you share that with other people? Who are the people that you brought to church? I don't mean literally in the car this morning, but the people you might have shared your faith with, and because of that, they've come to church. Remember one Sunday morning when I was preaching, as I often am, and Sue has to get the bus down to church, she was stood at the bus stop talking to a lady, and in the conversation, the lady said, and she was living on our road, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I used to go to church many years ago." And Sue thought, right, I'll challenge you. Why don't you come to church with me? And that lady is now one of our regular members. And that lady does so much in our church in her own gentle way. And I think, wow, you know, how fantastic to have brought somebody into faith. Just standing at a bus stop, just talking about things, just getting to know somebody. How were you brought to discipleship? Who was it who made you feel that it was worth facing the challenges, it was worth facing the difficulties of following Jesus? Who did you look at and think, yeah, they've got something a bit special. They've got something that I want. They've got something that makes them stand out as being special. So it has to be worth it, or does it? Think of Bonhoeffer, the great theologian. You've heard of him, I'm sure, right? And he criticized the Nazi regime. And what happened to him? Well, he was executed. He lost his life. I'm not suggesting that that's what we have to do, but there's a sense of feeling that following Jesus has got to be worth it for the sacrifices that we make. And this is where I wanted just to mention the An Ming story, because we heard Mark give his talk at Our Men's Fellowship, and it was very inspirational. But we've watched that program, and yes, we'll be watching it tonight and tomorrow night. Well, not tomorrow night because it's local preachers' meeting, but I'll see it later. But, you know, seeing this lady, seeing what she's been through, seeing the agonies, seeing the hurt, and then feeling totally let down by the police, but not by Mark and the other team that came in, but being let down by the fact that her daughter has been taken away from her. And, yeah, having the guts, having the courage to believe that what had happened in that first court case was wrong, and that she had to fight for the right for her own daughter, for her own family, for her own sanity. She had to turn over a law that had been in existence for hundreds and hundreds of years and make things turn round for justice's sake. And I'm certainly looking forward to tonight and tomorrow night seeing the continuation of that story, fighting for what is right. And I know that Mark is still in touch with Andy and still cares about her. And it was interesting when Sue and I watched the character of Mr. Braithwaite appear on our screen and said, oh, look, there he is. Then Sue said to me, yeah, he is a kind guy, isn't he? The guy playing him was able to show those qualities that we all know Mark has. But he was with her in helping her to fight that battle, because she believed sincerely that she was right, and that it was worth making those sacrifices. So people fight for the right, don't they? And as Christians, we are also called to fight for the right. We're called for justice. We're called to see that the right things happen, even though there are times when it's far easier to just be quiet and stay out of the way. In our journey of faith, there have been times in my life when I have been disappointed by what God has done. I remember in the time of Mike Harlan's superintendency, I was wondering whether or not I was called to ministry. And I went to see Mike, and after long conversations, he did turn around and say, well, actually, maybe you're better off staying as you are. In other words, ministry wasn't for me. But in some ways, I was glad, because it was going to be a tough journey if I had gone in to accept that calling. He said to me, well, you know, you're working with children and young people in church, you're teaching in schools, and you're preaching. And in that way, that is your ministry. That is how God is calling you. But I did feel a sense of disappointment. I did feel in some ways that God was, you know, maybe letting me down a bit here, maybe taking away from me what I was hoping would happen. But the reality was that the journey was a wonderful journey in teaching and in all that I did, even though it was a tough one too. Sometimes God doesn't always do what we expect him to do, does he? Sometimes we might even say that he doesn't always answer our prayers. And yet discipleship can't always be easy. But he never lets us down. He's always there for us. He's always there to help us to get through. For he himself made that ultimate sacrifice. He died that we might be forgiven. He died that we might be good. He died to help us to be the people that he wants us to be. So think about, on this first Sunday of a new Methodist year, all those people were ordained at the conference, starting in their first churches, and all those new ministers going to new circuits. As I've said before in memo, we're very grateful that we have three wonderful ministers in our circuit, and thankfully they're not going anywhere just yet. But pray for those who are starting afresh. It's the start of our year. It's the start of our journey as Christians to follow God and be inspired by his Holy Spirit. Amen.